This is the Nordic Football Guys Podcast.
What is up, everybody? We are the Nordic Football Guys. I'm your host, Hayden, and I am joined, as always, by my host, Auntie. Auntie, will you please say hello?
Moro. What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
What's up, Hayden?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Well, back in Helsinki.
Yeah.
Took the full month off, almost. Tried to be offline as much as possible.
Yeah.
Which I managed pretty good.
Yeah, we really haven't talked much, I feel, basically all of July. So now you're back in the swing of things. I'm glad that maybe we'll get to play more video games and stuff, talk more.
Well, Season 5 just launched, so.
Yeah, I played a little bit this morning, but not so much. The new maps are hit or miss. I don't really love the oil rig one. Have you played any?
No, I haven't played any.
Yeah.
And it was, the first time I didn't reach the level 155.
Ooh, well, you were gone for an entire month.
Yeah, so, but I got the battle pass to 100, so that's enough.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I already started on my battle pass. I'm kind of nervous I won't make it that far this time, though, because I just haven't been playing as much. But maybe now that you're back, I'll have a reason to get online and play some, so.
Yeah, cool. What did you do in July, by the way?
Not that much. It was mostly we were at the cabin hanging out, spent lots of time with the dog. I've been on a diet, like I said, like eating healthier and exercising more. So,
and that's been successful, right?
Yeah, I've lost like 25 pounds basically since I've started, so like almost 10 kilos.
That's great. Yeah, I'm starting to show.
Thanks. Well, I hope so. 10 kilos is a lot. I've gone from almost 200 to 175. So I'm finally into a normal range of weight. So I'm happy for that. Yeah. How did you spend the last couple days of your holiday since we last chatted?
We had a guys trip, a golf trip. It's like a tradition, third year already. So I guess you can start calling it the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
There's this little place. Actually, I was born there in Paltamo. It's a small village, but they have this one of the most beautiful golf courses in Finland. So we have 8 guys going there for the weekend, playing a bit of a competition, like individual round, and then a scramble, like a couple competitions. So it's a great tradition, fun times.
Cool.
And then on Monday I started working, and on Monday I drove back to Helsinki. So,
right
now it's been a busy couple of days, work wise, like and always after holidays.
I guess you left your wife up north for a while. It sounds because you're home alone.
She stayed for 1 week, one more week. So she will return on Sunday.
Okay.
So
well, that's exciting. Good for her, I guess. And 1 week alone is kind of cool. Get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, play Call of Duty and golf.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of golf lined up for the week then?
A couple of rounds.
Cool. Hey, but it's good catching up with you. But we only have 5 weeks until the NFL season sort of kicks off. And we kind of realized this only a few weeks ago. So we have our last few shows planned. Like you know, last week we went over our hot takes for the season. And some of those hot takes have already changed, as we know, because of it's been a crazy year and we have a lot of holdouts and things are changing. So everything is going pretty quickly. For the next couple of weeks, we thought it would be a good idea as the NFG that we will go over our top players at each position. We'll say a little bit why we feel they deserve to be at that spot. Maybe because these are consensus rankings. Maybe we have a little bit of contrary feelings towards it. I know that Auntie's rankings vary a ton, especially at the quarterback position. So it's kind of exciting to see what's going to happen there. Today, we decided that we would start with the quarterbacks because, as a lot of you know, as we record a couple of days early, there is still the opt-out period, and we felt that the quarterbacks are the safest positions of people that more than likely will not hold out. And then the weeks to come, we'll go tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs. Maybe not in that order. We'll figure it out later. But, yeah, so without further ado, unless, Auntie, you have anything you want to share?
No, you summed it up pretty nicely.
So. Yeah, maybe we will kick it off now with our first quarterback. And our first quarterback is kind of an interesting one. He's not the general consensus pick. Most people have, we have that guy at number two. But again, a guy that really does deserve that top spot, especially on a lot of people's rankings. He's my number two, and I see that you have him a little bit lower, is Patrick Mahomes. So yeah. How do you feel about Patrick Mahomes at number one?
Yeah, I guess Patrick Mahomes and the other guy that's coming up next is 50-50 among the experts. So it could go either or. For sure, deserves like the consensus number one. I have him at number three. So it's just like, and the difference between the points that I have stated him is like very close to the number one and number two. So,
right,
could go either or. For sure, he's very consistent. We'll throw a lot of touchdowns and we'll throw a lot of yards. So. Probably the safest bet, I would say, in the number one spot that we have him. I personally have him over 4,600 yards and 35 touchdowns. So,
yeah, the dude is really good at what he does. I don't actually have my stats pulled up, but we know that that offense really hasn't changed much. They have one more year with some of those younger guys, and only on top of that, they took in the first round a great running back. So maybe a guy that he can lean on some dump offs. Like not only a great running back, but a great receiving running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, so, for sure. The best receiving running back from that class. So
yeah. Yeah. No question.
Yeah. Damien Williams opted to hold out. I don't see that making a much of a difference. If anything, he just pumps up Clyde Edwards-Helaire's stocks upwards.
Right. Yeah, I don't see that
affecting that to Patrick Mahomes that much.
Yeah, or that offense as a whole. I think that maybe it just brings up the number two guy and kind of solidifies Clyde Edwards-Helaire's first role. One thing to say about Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, there are two guys on this list that we have within our top five, and I think that Patrick Mahomes and then maybe the next guy to come are – actually, Patrick Mahomes, even more so, is a much more solid pick to virtually guarantee you a top five QB pick. For instance, like he's been doing it, he's been getting better every year. He's very young, Super Bowl MVP. There's no reason that he cannot replicate a top five quarterback season, barring injury, of course, and he has all the weapons in the world.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't personally draft him that early that he's going. Because I see lots of those like high value quarterbacks going in the later rounds that I'm going to pick.
Right.
But, you know.
To each their own, right?
Yeah. Maybe in a super flex. Yeah, I would consider it, but.
I don't think we're getting him in a super flex either. I think he's just a little bit too valuable there. One question I did wanted, since we're on the topic here of the Kansas City offense. We talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago about the wide receiver two, because I think they have a very solid wide receiving one there, Tyreek Hill. Maybe I know that you're a little bit lower on Tyreek Hill, but who do you have as their wide receiver two? Because there's the conversation of Mecole Hardman versus Sammy Watkins, and we've talked about that before. So
yeah, I have Mecole Hardman just barely. I had them pretty neck and neck.
Yeah.
Just barely, Mecole Hardman.
I think Mecole Hardman had a really good year last year. Sammy Watkins is very hit or miss. And I would not be surprised if Mecole Hardman was like a fringe RB or wide receiver one, wide receiver two, like one of those top 20 guys on the year, because they have everything going for them this year, at least on paper. So it could be really interesting. I have him currently set at 110 fantasy points, 5 touchdowns, and just under 650 yards. But if he got closer to 1,000, that would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, I have him. I'm at 130 fantasy points in half PPR.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's actually a stat that I might want to retouch a little bit, especially now that Damian Williams is holding out. So it might affect a little bit. But anyway, yeah. So very clear deserving of the spot. I don't think that I'm personally going to have much shares of him because his value is just way too high for draft. I know that you said the same thing. Mm. But unless you have more to add, do you want to kick it over to our number two?
Yeah, the number two, I'm pretty sure we didn't say his name yet. Pretty sure most of the people guessed him already. So we have Lamar Jackson at number two spot. The MVP from last year, the phenomenon that he was, pretty deserving spot at number two. I personally have him at number four. So my number three and my number four are like a bit surprising for most people. But still very... Again, very close to the top two guys that I have in my rankings as well. So he has, even though he wouldn't pass that much, I have him still like surpassing his last year's passing yards, but just barely. Touchdowns, I took down a lot because of that conversion rate. Just was just ridiculous. Last year he had 36. I have him at 25 this year. But those rushing yards I took down a little bit because I have him just barely under 1,000 rushing yards. I just feel like most of the defenses are going to catch up a little bit since they had the whole offseason to study what they did last year, maybe catch on a couple of the plays. And those stats put him in number four in my rankings. What about you?
Yeah, actually for me, I have like most of the fantasy pros. I have Lamar Jackson as my number one quarterback. But I guess that our other two guys, you having Lamar at four and then our other two guys must have had him at one. That kind of balances him out to two in that situation. But again, like you said, I do have his passing yards increasing quite a lot, but his touchdowns I have dropped maybe not quite as much as you, because you said you dropped them to 25. I have him throwing about 30, which is a pretty good offensive year for a quarterback. It's nothing stellar, but I also have his interceptions increasing over double, so maybe 13 a game. I think that they're going to catch up with him a little bit on the running side, like defenses and whatnot, especially, like you said, they've had an entire offseason to plan for him. So I think that he's going to have to try to rely on his arm a little bit more. So I think that in turn that will result in more turnovers.
Mm. How many passing yards do you have him at?
3,349. So not okay, much so
it's
more. Not,
yeah, it's nothing much more, yeah.
Yeah, but
I have also him at 10 interceptions. He had 6 last year, so I have that stat going up also.
Yeah, and I have his touchdowns dropping. I'm not sure if I said by 6. I have him at 30 touchdowns. So again, I think that the defenses are going to catch up. I also have his rushing numbers not dropping substantially. I have him just under 900 yards and 5 touchdowns. And in half point, not that it matters for quarterbacks, I have him at 371 points on the year.
Mm, so, I have him at 350. So
yeah, it's where I'm
those
seeing
touchdowns.
It, yeah, that is the touchdowns is a big difference. And for instance, when we're looking, the difference between my two quarterbacks is actually quite large. So for my Patrick Mahomes, I didn't go over his stats. I have him as my quarterback too, and I have him only at 340 points. So still, I have Lamar Jackson as a very clear quarterback one. I don't think that he's going to be a prolific passer this year. It would be great if it happened, but I think his rushing stats are just too hard to pass up for a quarterback one because, as we know, a touchdown on the ground is worth more than a touchdown through the air. And if he's doing half the touchdowns that he's throwing on the ground, that's a great season. So I do have his rushing touchdowns coming down a little bit, his rushing yards coming down a little bit, but, you know, he had a prolific season. It would be virtually impossible to duplicate that. But still, if he's a guy that I wouldn't say is a lock for a top five performance. I do think that his floor is a little bit lower than Patrick Mahomes, but his ceiling also might be a little bit higher. So in my opinion, a little bit more volatile player, but still pretty safe.
Yeah. Again, if we go to the drafting, if you read Zach's great article from our website, peak drafting, I would say Lamar could be one of those that you might want to steer clear of.
Right.
Since he hit his peak last year.
Right.
So again, way too valued for my taste when I'm drafting QBs.
Yeah, and if you're looking to draft one of the top two guys, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, they are sort of in that same tier together. We, as a consensus, recommend Patrick Mahomes, and actually he's a little bit cheaper in terms of ADP. So if you really want a upper echelon quarterback, in our opinion, as a collective NFG, would be that you should wait for Patrick Mahomes. So I think that's pretty sound advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I will move it on to our number three quarterback, unless you have something to add.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So our number three, I should have gone with Lamar and let you introduce this one, because clearly you and I, we have some pretty, not huge differentials here, but you love this guy, according to your rankings. Our number three guy is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson on my rankings is number five, so I have him just a little bit lower. I have him averaging 1 yard over 4,000, so 4,001 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. I feel like maybe I did him a little bit dirty on that touchdown rate, but and also 2 touchdowns on the ground, 330 yards on the ground, just under 322 fantasy points. So still a solid QB1. But I have him projected much, much lower than those upper tier guys. Well, how do you feel about Russell Wilson?
He's my number one, actually.
Yeah. Go on and say why.
393 fantasy points I have him at. And I have him passing just barely over 4,500, which is not so high, like watching back his seasons. He's one of those guys just like, it looks like he's not doing anything, but somehow when the game has finished, he has a bunch of yards.
That's quite frustrating.
I have 34 touchdowns for him. He passed 31 last year. And since I'm giving him 400 yards more than he had last year, it's nothing. It's like in line with that. Also, I gave him 2 interceptions more because of those increasing yards. I have him at 4 touchdowns on the ground. Also, he had 3 last year, so that could like affect a little bit. Same amount of yards, kind of. The biggest thing maybe is that I don't see him giving any other, like Anthony Gordon is their number 2, so I don't see him getting any of the garbage time yardages either. Like a bunch of the other QBs, if they are leading, they give the number 2 guy the garbage time throws. Mm-hmm. But I see Russell Wilson doing those as well. Nothing big, just gave him more yards this season.
How many yards did you say?
4,500.
45, okay.
Yeah, so.
And how many touchdowns?
34,
okay. So yeah. In your mind, not saying that it's impossible, but Russell Wilson, that would be his best season in terms of yards and second best season. Well, he's had 3 seasons of 34 yards or better, so that would put him on par. That would make it his best season ever. Not saying it's impossible. Definitely could happen. And what I love about Russell Wilson in this situation is that he produces virtually the same numbers every year. It's very close to 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns or more. So he's a very safe guy. You're going to be drafting him, and he's virtual lock for QB1 numbers every single year. Him being that upper tier guy, like top tier guy, has never happened. But honestly, the way that he's been playing, it's just a matter of time. So I guess in your opinion, you're projecting him to do just a little bit better than normally. And in my opinion, I have him doing virtually what he does every single year. So yeah, he's a safe pick, maybe even safer than Lamar Jackson. How would you feel about that?
Safer for sure. Still, I think Lamar has the higher ceiling because of those legs. Also, what I forgot to mention was that DK Metcalf has matured 1 more year. So in that regard also, he has better weapons than he had last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there. I think that if there is room there for DK Metcalf, for instance, I actually have DK Metcalf as their wide receiver one this year, virtually just surpassing Tyler Lockett by 5 fantasy points. But that doesn't mean that he can't produce wide receiver one numbers for both of these guys. And if he can, for instance, DK Metcalf last year, just under 900 yards. If he can throw just 200, 300 more yards to both of those guys, he's in for a big, big season.
Yeah. Also, in tight ends, we know that Will Disley got hurt early on last season. Now they also added Greg Olsen there.
Right.
So he has more weapons in tight end department as well this year. So he still has Will Disley there if he can stay healthy. And then Greg Olsen will be their tight end one, in my opinions, anyway.
Yeah. So they also added some good running back depth. If for obvious reasons, Chris Carson and his fumbling issues don't pan out, they have Carlos Hyde there. So they do have a backup plan to fall back to on their running game, just to keep a little bit of the pressure off of Russell Wilson in terms of the passing game. So it could be a big season for Seattle. I don't love Seattle, so I kind of hate to say that. But, yeah, it could be a big season happening in Seattle, for sure. For sure. So yeah. I definitely – when I first saw your rankings and I saw Russell Wilson at one, I thought you were absolutely bat insane. But looking at the stats, talking it through, I definitely can see the argument that you're making for it, for sure. Are you ready to pass it on to our quarterback 4?
Yes, I am. This is also a guy that I'm very high on, well, pretty much the whole offense that I'm high on. He is Dak Prescott, and I have him at number 2 in my rankings. And I know that some of our other guys may not agree with that. Don't want to say any names. The regular listeners know who I'm talking about. But he's been improving the whole time. Some people say that he's bad on tape, but still he produces the fantasy points that us as fantasy players, we is all we care about.
Right.
Basically, he has all the weapons. Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and also Zeke is good catching passes. So I have him actually not throwing as many yards as he did last year. I have him a bit lower than that. I have him at almost 4,800 yards. Still, I have him at 2 touchdowns higher, a couple of interceptions lower. And also, I see him rushing a bit more he did last year, 100 yards more, and then hence gaining one more touchdown in the ground. He's about one point behind Russell Wilson in my ranking. So
he's like a close QB2 for you then.
He's QB2 for me in my rankings.
So even though you have let me go through what I feel about Dak Prescott, and then I'll ask you some questions.
Mm-hmm.
I have Dak Prescott very similar. He's my QB3, but higher than Russell Wilson by a good margin. I actually have Dak Prescott stepping back quite a lot this year. I have him throwing 500 less yards, 1 less touchdown, and 4 more interceptions. I also have him rushing a little bit, less with 3 touchdowns. However, I still see him as a very, very safe player. When I was statting out Dak, I was doing it very cautiously, in a way that I didn't want to over-project him, because it would be hard for him, just because he had such an amazing season last year, throwing 5,000 yards. As much as I wanted to give that to him, I feel like would be very, very difficult. It's very difficult for any quarterback to throw for over 5,000 yards. And touchdown-wise, I just saw it staying about the same. What I really, really love about Dak Prescott this year is not only did they keep most of their offensive pieces, they got rid of their ancient tight end, so it doesn't really make that much of a difference. They added one of the best pass catchers in this year's draft in CeeDee Lamb. And I can see CeeDee Lamb being very, very valuable to many people this year in fantasy, especially in a redraft. And if you got him in a dynasty, that's very good. Also, I have Michael Gallup kind of maintaining the same role that he had. I have him taking a little bit of a step down. I have him for 50 less yards and one less touchdown, but still very good. And Amari Cooper is just a solid player as well. I have him taking a little bit of a step down, but only in 50 yards. And with the addition of CeeDee Lamb there, that's a ton of potential yards that could be going to that RB or wide receiver three, which is, it's hard for quarterbacks to maintain three solid wide receivers, but we've seen it before in these high passing offenses at Los Angeles a couple of years ago. I definitely could see this as a team that has three very viable wide receivers. So yeah, I really like Dak Prescott. I would personally draft Dak Prescott ahead of people like Russell Wilson. Like I said, I have Russell Wilson at five, Zeke at three. I know that you have Russell Wilson statted, what was it, 1 point higher than Dak Prescott, but if you were drafting today, which one would you be happier with on your team?
I would take Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Just because I had to trust my stats.
Yeah. No, that's fair. A lot of those times, even though you have the stats one way or another, I still feel that there is a little bit of like an it factor or upside potential. I think that Dak Prescott has that upside potential that Russell Wilson, while he does have, his offense hasn't changed that much, and they've added a little bit to Dak on the Dallas offense that could push him over. So that's just why I ask.
Yeah, but also Dak Prescott is are they about the same ADP with Russell Wilson?
Yeah, let me check that now. Why don't right. you?
Because of course that makes difference as well. If I have them at 1 point difference, and then Russell Wilson ends up being a lot higher in the ADP, then of course I'm taking Dak Prescott. But
yeah, so I'm looking here. Dak Prescott is going as the third quarterback off the board, and that's kind of standard. He's actually going as the quarterback four, and Russell Wilson is going as the quarterback five.
Yeah, so I would take Russell Wilson then.
Yeah.
In that regard. Where do you have those 500 yards going when you see that also CeeDee Lamb is getting of course some yards, and then Michael Gallup is staying about the same?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have Blake Jarwin stepping up a little bit here. I don't have so much. I've actually reduced a lot in their rushing game in terms of receiving stats. So I have Zeke taking a step down. I also, like I said, I've taken some stats away from Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, and also the tight end. I have a big step down there in terms of that. Now all they have is Blake Jarwin, and last year they had two good tight end receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that's coming off the tight end. I still have Blake Jarwin taking a little bit of a step up, but the fact that Jason Witten is no longer there, that is taking away a lot of receiving work.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Did I introduce Dak or did you introduce Dak? So maybe I will kick it over to our QB5.
All righty.
Yeah. So at QB5, we have a guy that I think most people are very, very high on this year. You are contrary a little bit to that. This is the guy we were talking about, ADP. He's going ADP as the QB3. This year, and we have him at QB5. So even though we have him high, doesn't mean you should be drafting him, and that is Kyler Murray. I have Kyler Murray at four, and let me just go over to my Arizona stats real quick. I have Kyler Murray taking a big step up from last year, actually, but I still don't have him creeping up into our top three. I have him going just south of 4,000 yards, five more touchdowns, a couple more interceptions, and I have his rushing stats staying about the same. It seems that these fantasy pros, they have Kyler Murray taking a huge step forward and being drafted around the Q. He's being drafted as the QB3 in ADP, but actually he too is the QB5. So maybe the fantasy pros aren't as high as him as the general public is. So what do you feel about Kyler Murray?
Well, I have Kyler Murray at number 9.
Yeah, that says a lot.
But still, it seems that I have started a bunch of QBs higher in fantasy points than you have, since I have Kyler Murray at 333 points, which if I remember right, you had Patrick Mahomes in that area.
Yeah, I have Kyler Murray at 322.
Yeah, so and still Kyler Murray is my QB9. So Yeah, I have. Maybe it's not of Kyler Murray, but the other QBs that I studied higher than most people in points. I also have him passing more than he did last year, with over 4,000 yards, 8 touchdowns more than he had last year, and at 15 interceptions. So he had 12 last year. The rushing game, I have him like at the same levels than he did last year.
Okay.
So yeah, I still see him improving, but still he stays at number 9 in my rankings. So,
is he a stay away guy based on ADP for you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you guys should check out our most recent, our first article ever written. Actually, Zach, our social media guy, wrote us an article about ceiling drafting, and Kyler Murray made a huge point about Kyler Murray, about how everybody and their mother, and it shows on ADP, is in love with Kyler Murray. So he's going really, really early as the number 3 QB. Fantasy Pros and us have him at the QB 5. So maybe temper expectations with Kyler Murray. You're giving up a lot to get him. So unless you're very, very high, you see him as the next Lamar Jackson. Right now, in my opinion, he's being drafted at his ceiling, absolute ceiling. I don't see him surpassing people like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson just because he's a little bit undersized. The talent's not all there. He does have a year underneath him, and he had a pretty decent rookie campaign. But yeah, everybody feels the same way, and you're not getting him at that Lamar Jackson value that you were getting him at last year. So
yeah, you're getting, I was just about to say.
Yeah, exactly. You're spending high draft capital to get him, so he might be a stay-away candidate, even for me.
Of course, if you see him dropping, since a bunch of guys, even though his ADP is there, but if you have experienced fantasy players in your league, a bunch of guys might feel the same way, and he might like accidentally be dropping. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just like keep your eye on him if that happens, that he's dropping.
Yeah, for instance, every year there are a handful of just crazy players that fall out for some reason. And a lot of the time what will happen is that people will pass on a player and keep passing on a player and keep passing on a player to the point that the other people in the league feel like they're missing out on something, right?
Yeah.
So for instance, if you don't pick – if you see that, for instance, last year in my money league, Dak Prescott, I got him on waivers after the draft, and he was consensus the QB8 about last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so what was happening is once the first couple of quarterbacks go and people pass over him, if you're not 100% aware of what's going on in the NFL that year, you might be afraid that something happened with Dak Prescott and you don't know, so you don't want to touch him. He might be like injured, it might have happened or something. So a lot of the people, if you're on top of the NFL news, you can snake some of these guys way later because people are afraid to touch them for various reasons. So if you see Kyler Murray falling maybe past QB 5, 6, 7, like if he falls into like a later like top round, like maybe round 8 or 9, that's when I would start to pull the trigger on him.
Yeah, about the same for me.
Yeah.
One of the guys maybe that it's affecting like Kyler Murray's ADP is DeAndre Hopkins that got traded there.
Yeah.
But I don't see him like making or breaking the year for any QB anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see, just since we're on that note, it definitely did affect my, well, maybe not mine, but definitely affected your Deshaun Watson rating.
Yeah.
So definitely breaking, but maybe not making, because for instance, you don't even have him in your top 10 as I'm looking here. So, yeah. Something to look forward to. So it could be that he has some good value, but still, I think the draft price is just a little high for Kyler Murray.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's our top 5. We're about 30 minutes into it. Antti, how do you feel about moving it on?
All right, number 6. We are number 6, right?
Yep.
So we have Josh Allen at number 6. And yeah, as consensus, we all like Josh Allen pretty much.
Yeah.
So I have, in my personal rankings, I have Josh Allen at number 6 as right. well. So that on our consensus. Again, I see him throwing a lot more yards than he did last year, 600 yards more. So I have him at 3,600 yards. Four more touchdowns, so 24 touchdowns. I see him maintaining the rushing level he had last year. I took one touchdown away from him, gave him 50 yards more. So that puts him at 343 points.
That's huge. That's like my QB2. I have Josh Allen taking a step forward this year because last year he was around 297. I have him taking a step forward in passing, so I have given him about 300 more passing yards and four more touchdowns. Obviously, with increased passing work, there's the opportunity to throw more interceptions, so I've added a handful of more interceptions there. And I have his rushing work staying about the same. I took off 45 yards and a touchdown, but that increases him to 3,014 fantasy points and just under 20 fantasy points per game. This is the kind of guy that is kind of I have him at 7. I have Kyler Murray at 4, but according to ADP, I think that Josh Allen is actually a much more value pick coming into drafts right now.
Maybe a bit still too high for me ADP wise.
Yeah.
Again, because I have those guys that I see doing well that the ADP does not. So,
yeah.
I'm willing on waiting for them. So right. I'm happily passing these high ADP QBs.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I have Josh Allen as our number 7. So, for instance, Fantasy Pros has him going as the number 7 as well. So he falls just in line with, in terms of ADP, he falls in line the same as we have him, actually a little bit lower. So he's going as the QB7. We have him at the QB6. So, and I have him at 7. So it's right in line with my value pick. I know that that's around round 7 or 8. And if he's falling into the round 8 pick, I've been taking him more often than not in mock drafts, actually, because that's when you start to look into drafting running back 2s, low end, wide receiver 3s for teams. And when you're looking at your quarterback, if you can get a top, like a high end top tier guy, then I'm starting to lean that way. So I really like Josh Allen at his ADP this year. He's somebody that if I have on my team, I leave that draft feeling kind of comfortable. And Josh Allen's kind of like my cutoff. For if I don't take Josh Allen, then I'm completely punting the quarterback position and waiting till the last two rounds, essentially, for me. That's how I've been drafting.
All right. Next.
Yeah. Yeah, you nothing to add on to that?
Nope.
Yeah, this one's a big one for you and a lower one for me. Moving on to number 7 is Matthew Stafford. I have Matthew Stafford at number 9, and you have Matthew Stafford at number 5. So tell us your feelings towards Matthew Stafford.
I love Matthew Stafford, and that's the guy that I'm looking towards in draft, because he's going to drop into a place that I will happily draft him.
Yeah.
So we all know that he was hurt last year, but those 8 games he played was like magnificent. He was on fire, and his back should be okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have him at 4,200 passing yards and 27 touchdowns.
Right.
Also, I see him rushing quite a bit and making some touchdowns in the ground, which puts him at 349 fantasy points. Again, still 30 points lower than my QB1 was and QB2 was. So there's a bit of a gap there. But again, they drafted DeAndre Swift. Kerryon is still there, so they have some passing relevance. I love Kenny Galladay as well. Marvin Jones is still good. I also see Danny Amendola being the QB wide receiver 3 in that team, still getting like some work. And DJ Hockenson is one of the major things that he was hurt pretty much the full year. He had a great debut game, broke all kinds of records. So if he can stay healthy, that's a huge help for Matthew Stafford as well. But main thing is that I just believe in Matthew Stafford and in that arm, and should be a good year for him. I may be a bit high on the rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, if you have more than zero, that's high.
Yeah, I have more than zero.
I have Matt Stafford throwing for 4,350 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. A very, very great year for Matthew Stafford. I have him with 60 rushing yards and zero touchdowns on the ground.
So you have him at the same rushing amount that he had last year with all those games missed?
I have him rushing for less than last year. Yes, I do, in fact.
Oh, okay.
Just because the main reason is that they brought in DeAndre Swift, a rookie guy, to take the rushing work away from him, and he just literally just is coming off a back issue, so I don't think that he's going to want to keep it on the ground at all, and he's never been known for keeping it on the ground. So I think he's going to be trying to avoid as many hits as possible, using DeAndre Swift to kind of get out of like those pressure situations. And yeah, but as I was saying with the last guy, that if I'm not drafting Josh Allen at the 7 spot, Matthew Stafford is the exact guy. Even though I have him at 9, Matthew Stafford right now is being drafted ADP-wise as the quarterback 13. So that means that you can get him for free, essentially, at the end of the draft as your QB1. And everybody else should have touched a quarterback before Matthew Stafford even goes. So in this situation, Matthew Stafford is a very solid QB1 option if you decide to punt on the position, a guy that can easily give you top 10 numbers, that I have projecting giving top 10 numbers. You have projecting giving way higher than top 10 numbers. You have him in the top 5. So definitely a guy, a high, high value pick going into the year, and a guy that if you left with Matt Stafford and nothing else on your team, I would kind of be happy with that, actually.
Yeah, again, I would be glad to take him. I actually might have to be more realistic with the rushing numbers and take them down a bit. So that might affect his ranking in my eyes a little bit, but not maybe a significant amount.
Yeah, I mean, even if you removed all of that rushing work that you had, you would still have him probably in the top 10 for sure. And definitely the type of guy that you're happy to have on your team. So, yeah, not much. For instance, before we move on from that, I just want to give you a list of the people that are being drafted before him. Drew Brees at number 9, Carson Wentz at number 11, Aaron Rodgers at number 10, Tom Brady at number 12. And every single one of these guys I don't think makes my top 10. Drew Brees is a little bit above Matt Stafford, but he's being drafted so much higher that I don't want to touch him at all. So just a little bit of insight there. And Tom Brady at 12 versus Matt Stafford at 13, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. Like, everybody knows if you listen to the last week's show how I feel about Tom Brady. So definitely a high-value pick for Matt Stafford. I guess it's the injury that he's coming off of that makes it so that people are a little bit afraid of. What do you think?
Yeah, that might be the reason.
Yeah.
But we still cannot surpass those 8 games he had last year.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I'll let you move it on to number 8 then.
All right. At number 10, oh, number 8, I'm sorry. We have Deshaun Watson. You can take away and talk about him first. I'm lower on him than you are.
Yeah. So let me just pull those stats up. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, for me, was a very difficult guy to kind of stat out this year. I don't have him taking as big of a dip down. He's one of the few quarterbacks in my top 10 that I have taking a step down from the year before. So that says a lot about how I feel about Deshaun Watson just in general. I have his passing stats surprisingly going up 150 yards, but I have his touchdown numbers dropping and his interceptions going up a lot. Also, I have a lot of his rushing work coming down because they signed David Johnson, and David Johnson is somebody that I think is going to take over a lot of that rushing work. Also, Duke Johnson is there as well. The main issue that I have with this team in general and as this being one of the hardest teams for me to stat out. They got rid of their wide receiver one in huge fashion, DeAndre Hopkins. He's gone. So that means that there's a huge hole and vacated targets, and they signed Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb, who, as we know, are not DeAndre Hopkins. So, again, that means that he's going to have to spread the ball out a lot more, and he's going to have to rely on an injury-prone Brandon Cooks, extreme injury-prone Will Fuller, and the new signing of Randall Cobb. They also have Kenny Stills and Kiki QT on there who might get some work, but, again, these people aren't really – I don't necessarily have them being fantasy relevant virtually at all. So, Deshaun Watson is a guy that sort of scares me. His value – he's still being drafted – as an upper echelon type of guy. Deshaun Watson right now is being drafted as the quarterback six. I have him, like I said, I have him at the QB six as well, but that you're giving up a lot to get him. And I think I even might have to drop his stats a little looking at his team right now and where he's landed on my rankings. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way. I have him just outside of a top 10 at number 11 in my rankings. Of course, that, as you said earlier, the DeAndre Hopkins thing hit him a little bit. I still have him higher in passing yards than he did last year and higher in touchdowns. Also higher in interceptions as well, of course. But the rushing work I have coming down. So he had 7 touchdowns in the ground last year. I have him at 3 this year. Since they have David Johnson now in the team also. So that might be the biggest reason I have him lower than most guys, just barely under 330 fantasy points. So
I have him at 320, just to be clear. So now I guess we'll move it on to Matt Ryan.
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, so introduce him.
Yeah, so I have Matt Ryan at number 6. Again, offense I love this year, and will happily take him. I just see them throwing a bunch of yards. Calvin Ridley is taking a huge step up in my eyes. Julio Jones is maintaining the same level. Hayden Hurst might be somebody this year for sure. Taking a step up, obviously, from past years, and Todd Gurley is of course the main weapon in the running back department, and also can do some receiving game that he wasn't given the opportunity last year in the Rams. So I have Matthew Stafford under 5,000 yards, but just barely. So I have him throwing the most yards this year in the QB department: 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and some work in the ground as well. So. Not much, but some. I have him just barely under 340 fantasy points.
That's a lot. Yeah, I have Matt Ryan a little bit different. I actually have Matt Ryan as my number 10 quarterback, so just under Matthew Stafford. So I'm still looking for Matthew Stafford going forward. Matt Ryan I have at 4,350, 30 touchdowns. I have his rushing work cut in half just because I felt like that was a little bit of an anomaly for Matt Ryan. He's not really the most mobile of quarterbacks. I do have his fantasy points going up, though, so it's going to be a step forward, especially in that touchdown rate. And the main reason that I have him increasing as much as I do is I have Calvin Ridley taking quite a step up. I have him getting almost 200 more yards and 2 more touchdowns on the year, so just over 1,000 yards for Calvin Ridley. I have him getting 2 more touchdowns. I also have Calvin Ridley running a touchdown this year. Kind of an exciting little stat there. Another major reason that I have Matt Ryan in my top 10 is Todd Gurley is coming in, and I can see that he could maybe not return to complete Todd Gurley form, but do enough to get that passing work. I have him receiving for just around 350 yards and 2 touchdowns and rushing for just over 1,000 yards. So pretty decent running year for Todd Gurley, and that bumps Matt Ryan just into my top 10. One of the main reasons I'm not really looking for Todd Gurley, though, is I'm sorry, not Todd Gurley, Matt Ryan, is because I have him as my QB 10. He's being drafted as the QB 8 right now. So that's before people like Drew Brees and way before people that we talked about like Matthew Stafford. So I think that you can still get better value for Matt Ryan, in my opinion. How do you feel about that?
You mean Matthew Stafford?
Matthew Stafford more value than Matt Ryan.
That's what you meant. But when you look at past years, Matt Ryan, 2018, he had just barely under 5,000 yards, mm-hmm. passing 35 touchdowns, and it finished like 356 points. Also 2016, 347 points. So he has done it before.
Yeah.
And last year wasn't a big step down, but a little bit. And now he has more developed weapons, also Todd Gurley. So I see him another big year for him. So,
yeah, the main reason that I'm kind of shying away from Matt Ryan is because there are a lot of very, very late guys. Like I said, Josh Allen is kind of my line of where if I don't touch Josh Allen, I'm kind of punting the position. So I'm staying away from these Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz types. Because there are a lot of these late guys that I really like Matthew Stafford. And, like, deep down, I'm kind of feeling Daniel Jones this year. And I'm really feeling Ryan Tannehill. So, again, he just doesn't quite fall in the draft strategy that I've been going with to this point. But, of course, you never know when it comes to time. He does have the value. I'm a little bit lower on him than we are as a consensus. You're a little bit higher, so... It really depends how you're feeling, what kind of year you're projecting for Matt Ryan.
So, all right. So our last guy then.
Yeah, our last guy on the list is a guy I'm a little bit higher than Matt Ryan on is Drew Brees. Why don't you start with Drew Brees?
All right. You said that Drew Brees is our number 9. He's actually 21 in my books. So this... I believe this one was one of the hot takes,
right?
That we went through last week. So I talked about him a bit also then. The main thing is that I don't see Drew Brees getting those garbage time yards. I see James Winston getting that role because clearly they are trying to develop him as their future QB1. Hmm. So that's the main reason. If I would give those yards that I have for James Winston, since I have James Winston throwing over 1,000 yards this year and also throwing 6 touchdowns, if I would give those stats to Drew Brees would, of course, be the QB1 in my books. But I have Drew Brees just throwing barely over 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and of course, doing nothing in the ground. So it puts him, in my books, 283 fantasy points.
Yeah, I have Drew Brees actually similar stat line, 4,200 yards, 31 touchdowns, and again, nothing on the ground. I have him just south of 310 fantasy points. One of the main reasons, I actually have him in terms of fantasy points per game. Last year, he was averaging just under 21. Now I have him averaging just over 19. So I do see him points per game-wise because, like you said, Jameis Winston's there, averaging a few less points, garbage time maybe. One of the main reasons that I have him taking such a step forward is a couple of things. Or not a step forward, but I have him where he is maybe not dropping quite as much. The signing of Emmanuel Sanders to this team adds a much-needed solidified wide receiver 2 for the team on top of, so I have him getting just around 830 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's about what he got last year in San Francisco. So that's going to add a lot of depth. I do have Michael Thomas taking a step down because he had that prolific season last year, but I still have him getting close to 1500 yards and 8 touchdowns. So still an amazing year for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I have more digression for Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
I have him barely under 1,400. And Emmanuel Sanders barely under 800. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you say well under, that's kind of relative. That's only 60-yard difference. So that's, what, 5 yards a game on average? Mm. So not huge difference there, but I hear what you're saying. Another reason I don't have him dipping quite as much is I have Alvin Kamara kind of bouncing back this year. So Alvin Kamara with 100 more rushing receiving yards on the year and over 200 rushing yards. So I can see that the offense is really going to keep it moving, going to be moving forward and having still a pretty decent year. So it would be a disservice to Drew Brees to drop him outside of my top 10. That being said, he's going as the QB9, and I would not be personally drafting him there because I've beaten this into the ground this time. If I'm not taking one of those top-tier guys, then I am waiting and waiting and waiting. So I probably won't see a lot of Drew Brees on my team, but I do see him getting quarterback one numbers.
Mm.
Anything you want to add about Drew Brees?
No, nothing more. The main thing that, again, I have a good QB year coming up in my stats, since the number 10 in my book still gets, in my stats, over 330 points, fantasy points. So that affects also a lot in my stats, that those 280 points ain't gonna cut it for QB1 numbers in my stats.
And for instance, my QB3 has 328 points.
Yeah.
So a major discrepancy there, but it could just be a huge offensive year. Who knows? And it makes sense with like defenses not being as meshed as they would due to the whole outbreak this year. Who knows what's going to happen? A lot of great defenses are breaking down because a lot of them are opting out and whatnot. So yeah, it could be an interesting year for the offense, but yeah, that's our top 10. So do you want to, I'll list off our top 10. Yeah. So our top 10, from on this episode, and this could change, so pay attention, is Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees. But if you are interested in our rankings, around the time that this show drops, you should see our most up-to-date rankings on our website, and Antti will be posting those and be happy about it, I'm sure. How do you feel about that, Antti?
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, this was a really fun episode. Next week, we're going to be probably looking at tight ends. So look forward to that. We're going to list off our top tight ends, and we're going to kind of use the same format. So I hope everybody enjoyed this episode. We will see you guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Moro, moro, mitä poro. That's Finnish and it means what's up reindeer in short.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode or all of our previous episodes. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. That is the most important thing.
Go and listen to us in Spotify, in Apple Pod, and all the other major podcast platforms.
And if you have any questions or you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at NFG Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We hope to see you there.
Moro, moro.